I'm very happy now to welcome Lily Castillo and Victor Reyes. Lily is communications manager and Victor is political director with Conservation Voters New Mexico. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So this phenomenon that happens just about every year, the CVNM scorecard has just come out. What's the scorecard all about?
Well, the scorecard is a tool for New Mexicans to learn how their legislators vote on conservation issues during the legislative session. And so each legislator is given a score based on, it's a mathematical equation based on their votes.
Is every issue that they vote on pretty much a kind of open and shut case about which way is better for the environment?
Yes, in our opinion.
Yeah.
And they know. And they know our positions beforehand. So we make sure to actively communicate with them before they take each vote at the beginning of the session. And so we work with them to make sure that they understand the implications that each amendment, that each bill, that each voting committee takes. And so it's very important for us, for them to know. And so each they know when they're taking their vote what is going to be scored and what is not going to be scored.
You do this for every legislator?
Yes, all 112 of them.
So how long have you've been doing the scorecard?
We began in 2005.
So that's a long time to start to get data.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of effects has the scorecard had on the legislative process, on the way people make decisions?
I would say the most clear thing we've noticed is just an awareness of the implications of their votes. You know, that when they vote on a bill like that doesn't seem immediately like it would have an impact on air, land, and water, that they think about it and say, wait, I might need to ask CVNM about this, you know? So it's like kind of not just CVNM, also anyone in the environmental community. But so it's more of an awareness mm-hmm. of the conservation measures and their effects.
Yeah, and our executive director loves to tell a story about how legislators chase her down the hallways to ask whether something is going to get graded or not. And so I think that does kind of speak to the awareness that this scorecard and the process of the whole accountability cycle that we've built, how it works and how it functions. And, you know, we make it a point, you know, if a legislator comes up to us and says that they're disappointed with their score, as we've already heard some legislators do, we try to work with them and we try to make sure that they can improve their score realistically.
What is in the way of voting for clean air, water, and land? It does seems kind of like a slam dunk in a big rural state.
That's a great question. Really, what we hear most often is that the things that we believe will protect New Mexicans, families, and communities, their basic needs, such as air, land, and water, would impede New Mexico's ability to bring jobs to the state. And we don't believe that. You know, we believe that New Mexico's economy needs to be sustainable. And in order to do that, we need to have clean air and water for the people who live here.
Right. And it's really funny. I think that some of the leadership and the rhetoric that's been built upon, you know, in the political sphere of a lot of legislators' mind, I think some of it begins from the very top. And one of those things was highlighted in our scorecard with Governor Martinez earning the score of an F in our scorecard. You know, Governor Martinez is arguably the worst governor when it comes to the environment in the history of New Mexico. And, you know, she is the type of person that will pat children on the head with one hand and then not think about the implications that the air and water that they drink and breathe is going to have on their future. And, you know, she's constantly sacrificing our water, our air, our land for the corporations and the contributors that have bankrolled her campaigns and have bankrolled the message that she tries to disseminate and has really infected a lot of the legislatures.
And the link between legislation and, for example, children's health is direct.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. There are a couple of bills that would directly impact, you know, the quality of water because they either don't provide enough oversight, you know, of some kind of process, so then the water could possibly be contaminated or pollutes the air, and that's not, the oversight is not written out clear enough in legislation, so most of them have a very direct impact.
What kinds of actual health problems are we seeing among kids in New Mexico caused by environmental problems?
Well, that's a great question, and one example that I think is very powerful is that the asthma rates in areas like Farmington and Hobbs, so northwestern and southeastern New Mexico, the asthma rates are just as high, I think actually higher, by, I think, 3 times higher than, like, Albuquerque. And it's where the population is more, the population center, so there's more cars and more everything. So those that's an example. So both of those areas are high oil and gas producing areas. So that's an example.
Talk more about Governor Martinez. CVNM, Conservation Voters New Mexico, has been able to really prevent some of the worst environmental bills from going through. But what kind of actual damage do you see has been done under her administration?
I mean, you know, she's done some pretty drastic things, both administratively and in the rulemaking authority that she does. You know, she stripped the pit rule, one of the things, and so now we can see that New Mexico is going to have floods of, you know, pools and lakes of the toxic byproducts of the drilling industry.
In unlined pits as opposed to lined pits.
Right. And in, you know, in the measures that used to be in place to make sure that wouldn't happen, which were considered across the country to be some of the best, are now gone. And so, you know, CVNM worked actively to make sure that we could communicate to her the damage that this would do. We went through a campaign that, you know, we collected petitions and we delivered them to the governor. And she still looked past the will of everyday New Mexicans and said, this is what I'm going to do because this is what the industry that backs me wants. And that's just one of the many examples of the disregard that she's had for our environment. And it's really disgusting, to be honest.
And it's one of those things, like, lining a pit isn't really all that hard. It seems like something that, you know, you just kind of pitch in and do your share.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing, is that it's not, there are common sense safeguards that are being rolled back or disregarded completely. It's not some extraordinary thing that the community or New Mexicans is asking for. You know, it's common sense protections like that.
And not something that would probably really hurt the industry economically in any significant way.
No, and in fact, we believe it's the opposite, and we've heard that from industry officials themselves, like industry members. Like, for example, for the pit rule, one thing that was highly encouraged of oil and gas, the oil and gas industry, was to use a closed loop system rather than a pit. And there were many people who, in the industry, who said that actually helped their bottom line and, you know, reduced their liability. So there were severe advantages, and they, you know, it just wasn't enough.
I mean, and it goes far beyond that. I mean, there were rules that she refused to publish, even though they were lawfully adopted and accepted before she took office.
That's right. I mean,
it's just the most. And, you know, a lot of the rules that she does do are challenged by the courts because they're not legal.
Well, I remember in the first year or two, she was taken to court like 4 or 5 times and lost every time for not following the law of New Mexico.
That's right.
We're talking to Lily Castillo and Victor Reyes from Conservation Voters New Mexico about the CVNM scorecard. Who are some of the environmental champions in the state of New Mexico, according to your scorecard?
You know, we have 5 in the Senate and 9 in the House. And we include in that list Stephen Easley, even though he passed. He was definitely a conservation champion, so we wanted to recognize his commitment. But yeah, so there's Gail Chasey, Representative Gail Chasey, Nate Cody, Brian Egolf, Miguel Garcia, Georgine Lewis, Patricia Roybal Caballero, Jeff Steinborn, Mimi Stewart, and of course Stephen Easley. And then in the Senate, we have Cisco McSorley, Bill O'Neill, Nancy Rodriguez, Michael Sanchez, and Peter Wirth.
And those were all people who scored 100, voted.
Yeah, that's a perfect score.
Right. And there is one fine fellow who got a 0.
Yes, Senator Lee Cotter from Las Cruces. He's the only senator or any legislator to receive a 0%.
How do you understand that? In whose interest is he voting?
You know, I don't know. That's a great question. But it represents that not on one occasion did he see that, like, our water supplies were more important than an economic development, you know, kind of measure or something like that. Not on one instance did he put water above anything else. So that's how I kind of see it.
Now, moving forward, I mean, we have talked on this program a number of times about how Conservation Voters New Mexico is really involved in preventing toxic, literally and figuratively, legislation from getting passed. Then there's the question of moving environmentally friendly legislation forward, which is a lot harder to do.
Absolutely. It's a significant challenge. But we have had the opportunity to champion a couple of positive things in the last few years. In 2013, we advocated for a bill that would update the 1935 Oil and Gas Act, which is, has not been updated not once since that time. So it's 78 or 9 years ago. It was 8 when we were doing it. And so there are real realities about the contamination that oil and gas byproducts, by the Pitt Rule, can cause to groundwater supplies. And so that needs to be updated to reflect reality. And then this year we were able to...
Did that happen?
No, actually, the bill did not succeed. It, okay. It got to the House floor and failed by only a few votes, actually. Yeah. And then also this year we were able to advocate for a bill that would have created a fund to do a health study of the Grants Mineral Belt area, which is, again, in northwestern New Mexico. And that's an area that has that continues to deal with legacy uranium mining waste issues. And so there's literally hundreds of mines still in that area that have never been cleaned up. And so that bill would have funded a study to get the baseline health information about that area, because that doesn't exist.
What would it take to get environmentally friendly legislation through the legislature?
Well, I mean, I think that that's what we continue to try to do, is one, in the election cycle that's coming up, we're trying to protect our conservation majority that we have in both chambers. We need to make sure that our constituents are communicating with their representatives and with their legislatures about the importance that these issues hold in their hearts. And I think that that's one of the things that our scorecard does and helps them do. And, you know, it's been really re-encouraging to see, you know, through social media, all the people post tweets and to post Facebook posts about, you know, our scorecard, about how disappointed or how proud they are of their legislatures for the actions that they do. But it's really all of us taking ownership and starting to get involved in the political process, whether it be by voting or whether it be by contacting the legislators, and it be to make sure, and we'll continue, you know, to work on behalf of every New Mexicans to hold our legislators accountable, to make sure that they're voting in their constituents' interests.
I have long wished for the reintroduction of civics classes into the public schools. It would be so great if Santa Fe teachers were to take their fifth graders to the legislature and just introduce them to the whole process, because I think a lot of people vote, a lot of people don't vote, but a lot of people don't really know how to get involved or feel that sense of ownership, or they might feel intimidated by making those phone calls or whatever it is. And getting over that hump is a big deal for a lot of people.
I agree. And that's something we work on mainly online, you know, is we send out email alerts regularly to have people take action or reach out to their legislator or Martinez or some other elected official, so that they can kind of figure out how to communicate with them, because that's a huge part of the process, not just voting, but then also holding whoever is in office accountable for their actions. So we definitely want to help, you know, bridge that gap, because it is definitely something people face.
You know, and Lily can speak to this more, but we have organizers in our organization that are working to mobilize communities and explain to them the importance that these issues face into their everyday lives. We have a Latino organizing director that was recently introduced to the organization. We have someone that's working in the Native American communities that's making sure that these communities, which are impacted directly every day by these decisions, are informed about what's happening and are motivated to take part in the process.
And who have a long tradition in the past of respecting
exactly.
our land and water.
Exactly. So I think that as our organization continues to grow, I think that these are some of the great things that we're doing to make sure that we all realize that we're all stakeholders in our environment and in the decisions that happen.
Victor, you are pretty new here at Conservation Voters New Mexico, new in Santa Fe. Tell us a little bit about your own background.
Sure. I am from El Paso, Texas. I was raised by three strong women, and I went and during college, I worked for the Mexican American Legal Defense and Education Fund, and I worked and did a lot of their Latino childhood obesity rates legislation that they introduced in the Texas legislature. And so I worked with them on that. I also worked with the National Hispanic Institute, and I did a lot of their community organizing and a lot of their community development with the organization. And then I went and I worked in Congress for Congressman Charlie Gonzalez. He was the chair of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, and I worked with their members, and that was a great experience. And when he announced that he was retiring, another great legislator in Texas, Mary Gonzalez, announced that she was going to run. And so I worked with her. I ran her campaign, and she became the first openly gay female member of the Texas House of Representatives. And so that was a big accomplishment. And I went on and I was her legislative director. And, you know, we were able to pass more piece of legislation than most other freshman members of the legislature. And it was a great accomplishment. And I was continued to be her district director after the legislative session. And I was with her for a couple of years. And when I was her district director, I was very proud to take part in a lot of environmental justice movements. We championed against two power plants being built in the middle of underdeveloped in really high poverty areas called colonias, which lacked basic access to sanitation and water and, you know, the basic things that, you know, we take for granted on an everyday basis. And these large power plants were trying to be built in the middle of these homes. And so there was, you know, there was a lot of concern in the community. And so we were able to stop them. And that was a very big accomplishment for us. And that's something that, you know, was one of the most rewarding things that I'll keep with me for the rest of my life. And it was in these experiences that I really realized the important role that environmental issues play in everyday lives. And it's something that, you know, I hope to bring with me into all of my experiences with Conservation Voters New Mexico.
And how intertwined they are with other issues, right? Like racial, economic,
exactly,
development and justice issues.
Exactly. And it was this same sentiment that got me to continue to be involved in political campaigns. And, you know, I'd always been involved in campaigns since I was very young. And I think I went on my first block walk when I was 5 years old, and I continued ever since then. And so that led me to the Land of Enchantment. And I was working on the Allen Weber for Governor campaign, and I fell in love with the state. And so I decided that, you know, I wanted to be a part in fighting for our environment here and protecting it and being part of this great organization.
Victor Reyes is political director of Conservation Voters New Mexico. Lily Castillo is communications manager there. They can be found on the web at cvnm.org. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having us. Thank y'all.